Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know that He is God. We need to know that He is God. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy.
Worship the Lord with gladness. It's so common to man, to the human experience, and to all of our experiences. And there are people, all kind of people in the world and otherwise, and the scriptures have said a lot about temptation. To quote one person, he said, Franklin Jones is this man's name, and I thought this was an interesting quote. He said, "Nothing makes it easier to resist temptation than a proper bringing up, a sound set of values, and witnesses." Some of you may have seen that there's a TV show, and it's like I had seen it a long time ago, a pilot years ago, and it just kind of always struck me as kind of funny. But now it's a recurring series on one of the channels. I forget which one it's, but it's called Bait Car. You ever seen that? Bait Car, where they like the police set up this car, and the car is they park it. They'll park it just right on the street where, especially, there have been a rash of car thefts or things like that. They'll park the car there, and it's usually a nice-looking car. But the car has got traps set in it. You know, so what happens is if you steal the car, you drive about 15 minutes, and they got video cameras in it, and the doors, like the first of all, the engine just starts slowing down and stops, and then the doors lock. And there's this video camera in there, and you're just, you know, you go, oh no, you know, they show the video of it. They show the people that are around it that may be stealing it. And one of the things that they always do, the people are kind of looking around to see if anybody's watching them, you know, and they're just like looking around, and if they realize or think that there's nobody watching them, then they may just go ahead and get in, and then of course they get down the road just a little while, and there they are, and the car's slowed down, and sometimes they got their buddies with them, and they're going, hey man, they're just really jacked up about having stolen the car and got this really nice ride, and then all of a sudden they're going, hey, something's wrong, this thing's like, you know, slowing down, I don't know. Something, the doors are locked, we can't get out of here, uh-oh, you know, and it's a big problem. And then the police come up to them, and then they start talking to them. They go, we didn't know this was a stolen car. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. It looked just like the car I rented from the rental car place the other day. And whatever, you know, but they're caught. And they have just yielded to that temptation that was there. Now, I'm not getting into whether that's right or wrong, a way to do that. Our human nature, though, is that when we're tempted, definitely, if there are witnesses around, it makes it a lot easier to resist the temptation. Amen? So I just wanted, though, to go through a few of the ways that I think that God shows us scripturally that are ways of escape that He gives us when we're tempted. And the first one is to listen for God's voice. And I thought it was really interesting, even this morning, that when Don and Arden were speaking or talking about the scripture that had come to them, you know, that God, you know, and because we always talk about it, and I believe with everything in my heart, the first place, the easiest place to hear the voice of the Lord is the Word of God. If you're in the Word, God will speak to you from His Word. God will say clear things to you. And God, you can hear His voice through His Word. But, you know, we have to also be listening, because there are times when, like Don felt, it wasn't just the Word, it was God showing him, God speaking to him through that alarm clock and through that time to say, you know, I'm speaking to you this way, I want you to know this. And it just really confirmed it when him and Arden came together and they didn't know what was going on, but this was what God was saying. So for us to humble ourselves and to hear and to listen for God's voice, Psalm 25:8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. All of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimony." So I think sometimes we have to, and I think that was just a really good illustration of Don, you know, the easiest thing would be just to go, I don't know about all that, I'm going back to bed. But to humble yourself, say, God, maybe You are speaking to me here. And so when we're confronted with temptations, it's like it's in our heart needs to we need to humble ourselves enough to go, God, I don't think I can do this by myself. I don't think I can resist this temptation on my own. I really need to hear what you're saying. I need to hear your voice. And it's a critical thing that we just say, you know, God, it's not my will here, but it's your will. I need to know what you're saying and to humble ourselves, to listen to God's voice. Because most of the time, to be honest, we would rather, you know, listen to the world or listen to ourselves or our intellect or think. The worst thing we can do is, as it says in 1 Corinthians, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. To humble yourself, to hear the voice of the Lord. Psalm 73 says, you will guide me with your counsel. We can trust that God will guide. He says he will guide us with his counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail. And that's the thing when temptation comes, when it's out there, no matter what it looks like, no matter what form it comes in, your heart can fail. Your strength on your own can fail. Said, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That we turn to God and say, God, this is a place, I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the strength to resist here. I can feel myself being pulled, you know, whether it's just to be dishonest, a little dishonest in an area of business or to just stray just a little bit in our relationship, in our marriage, whatever it is. Lord, I don't have the strength. You are the strength of my heart. You are my portion forever. To hear the voice of the Lord. Matthew 16:23, Jesus speaking said, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. One of the ways we know we're hearing God's voice is knowing that it's that his voice speaks truth, his voice speaks grace, his voice speaks honor, his voice speaks the ways of the Lord and not the ways of men. It's the easiest thing in the world when we're in a situation of temptation is to go, well, nobody else could resist this either. I'll just do it because everybody else does it. No, it's for us to humble ourselves, to hear the voice of the Lord, to really hear what he's saying, to look and see him even speaking in things. Again, even just as Don was speaking about the alarm clock. And there's a poem that I love, and it's really about God being everywhere. And again, God showing himself in that alarm clock. God can show himself to us in so many ways. And the poem is called, I See His Blood Upon the Rose. It's really short, but I want you to hear this. He said, I see His blood upon the rose, and in the stars the glory of His eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows. His tears fall from the skies. I see His face in every flower. The thunder and the singing of the birds are but His voice and carven by His power. Rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn. His cross is every tree. God is available. God is here. God, we can, you know, sometimes we may not have a Bible with us. We may not have the Word of God with us. We may not even be able to think of, you know, a scripture that we've memorized or we've got in our heart, but God can speak in other ways. God is here. God is available. God is ready. God is all around, and God is ready to speak to us when we humble our heart to hear His voice. Now, the second way of escape that God gives us is to resist the devil. Resist the devil. Because it is definitely Satan that brings us temptation. A temptation arises. This is a quote from St. Augustine. A temptation arises. It is the wind. It disturbs you. It is the surging of the seas. This is the time to awaken Christ and let Him remind you of these words. Who can this be? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. When you're confronted with a situation of temptation, that's the time when you say, awaken, O Christ, in me. Awaken, O Christ, in me, because I sense the evil power. I sense the evil one tempting me, luring me, calling me into something I know is not right to do. Lord, awaken in me. You, Lord, have the power to do that. You, Lord, are the one that has that even the winds and the waves obey you. James 4, 7, we're all familiar with it. Submit, therefore, to God. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, God showing us that in this time, in this place, if we draw on Him in these times of temptation, to resist the devil, and he will flee. 1 Peter, again, I know these are scriptures we're all familiar with, but how many of you, and you can lift your hands, how many of you have ever been confronted with temptation? See, it's all relevant, right? Or relative to us, because it's common to man. It's common to all of us. And it's happened before, and you say, well, it hadn't happened in a while. It'll happen again. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. You can bet on it. You can rely on the fact that if you have temptations in front of you, that your brothers and your sisters are having temptations also. And there's only one way. There's only one person that gives you the way of escape. There are ways to do it, but it's through the power of God that sometimes we can really resist the devil. And then to flee from evil. To flee from evil. Again, the scripture teaches us. Now flee from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Here's one more quote. And I thought, again, this just is not the scripture, but it gives us perspective from a human standpoint of temptation. This is from an unknown author. He says, opportunity may only knock once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Opportunity may only knock once. We hear that all the time, that we need to seize the opportunity because it may only come around once. But temptation leans on the doorbell. Where, if you haven't had a temptation today, you'll have one tomorrow. It'll come, whatever. If it doesn't come tomorrow, it'll come the next day. Temptation is leaning on the doorbell. Satan is always looking for a way to get us off course, to draw us into a place where then we can be discouraged and we can be set back from the purpose and the will and the plan that God has for us and has in our life. And then lastly, to consider the consequences of yielding to the temptation. The consequences, both good and bad. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. You know that David was there and he looked down and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath and he fell and succumbed to the temptation. I'm going to throw a couple of practical things in here. This is for men and for women, both. Be careful. If you're married, be careful around people of the opposite sex. Be careful who you spend time with. Be careful the way you do it. If you feel like somebody is becoming a better friend to you than your husband or wife, flee from that person. I'm not saying be rude, but be careful. Don't be alone. You know, don't stay alone. And I know sometimes our jobs, sometimes they're different situations. We have to be alone. But if there's too much going on, if there's somebody that just drawing and drawing on you, no matter if it's a male or a female, Watch out for that relationship. We are dealing today with more and more and more infidelity and divorce. Almost every time I speak to someone that's from another church or another city, that they've somehow been affected by people, by divorce and by affairs going on, and especially affairs among clergy, among leadership in the church. Be really careful. Just practically speaking, be careful when other relationship people of the opposite sex come into your life. And it's not that that person is evil or anything. I'm not trying to say that. But the enemy can use all kinds of things to tempt us. So be careful on those things. David and Bathsheba, David saw her and he fell for this woman. And you know the story of what he did. And I mean, it was just really evil. And he basically had Uriah murdered. But there was a consequence for David. And that his first child died. And the scripture teaches that that was a consequence of what happened with him. There are always consequences to those types of things. And so when you're thinking about, when a temptation is in front of you, think about the consequences. Let God reveal to you the consequences. Search your own heart, the heart that God has given you, your renewed heart, not the ways of man. James 1:12, though, says this, that there are also good consequences. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There are rewards for you, both personally and I think spiritually, if you can just hang on. If you can just trust in the Lord at that particular moment, in those particular times, and whatever it might be. Whether it's just cheating a little bit at your work, or if it's cheating in your marriage, or if it's just doing something a little dishonest, or whatever it might be, or if it's something really big, which it can be really big. So I just really felt like that God wanted this word this morning. That there's some of us here, some of us today, and maybe it was just for me, but I believe that God wants to speak that to us. There are ways that He makes way for us to escape the temptation. So be aware that it may be that even this week that there will be temptations set before you, and God will use these passages of Scripture and these ways of escape for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.